Welcome to Grape Radio, where an enthusiasm for wine gets personal. I'm Brian Clark.
And I'm Eric Anderson.
And today we are back for the final segment from the 2006 Pinot Days, and that is some seminars we attended.
Righto. Well, they were great.
They absolutely were. They had two seminars we attended. They lasted, about an hour, hour and a half each.
Something like that. It was started like early afternoon or mid-afternoon, I think, and then we took a break between. There was like two sets of flights in the early p.m., and then there was we took a break for lunch, mm-hmm. or dinner, actually, and then we went back for another round.
And as opposed to running the entire seminars in their entirety, what we're going to do is pull out some pieces of some of the speakers we really enjoyed the most and bring those to you. But before we get started with today's show, Eric, why don't you read a quick message from our sponsor who makes this show possible?
North Berkeley Wine. North Berkeley Wine is a full-service retailer and importer that specializes in hand-selected artisanal wines from the historic wine regions of France and Italy. If you're serious about fine wine, North Berkeley Wine should be your exclusive wine destination. From Burgundy to the Rhone Valley to Piedmont and beyond, they work tirelessly for more than 20 years to bring you exceptional wines that you simply won't find in any other retail store or outlet.
Some good stuff.
Yeah. Each bottle North Berkeley Wine offers comes from winemakers and grape farmers who truly respect the land. They work closely with their partners, selecting small lots after crush and tasting wine multiple times while in tank or cask. Their expert staff is available to help you choose wines that fit your taste, celebration, or cellar collection. You can find North Berkeley Wines online at northberkeleywine.com, or you can call them toll-free Monday through Saturday at 1-800-266-6585. North Berkeley Wine, fine artisanal wine for the serious wine enthusiast.
Yeah, this is perfect. We're talking about Pinot Noir, so if you want to expand that into Burgundy, these are the guys who can definitely help you out.
I would bet they have Burgundy all over the place.
Well, talking about Pinot Noir, let's talk a little bit about these different flights, these two seminars, and what you saw, Eric. Can you briefly describe what each of the seminars sort of composed of?
Yeah, these were basically sit-down tastings, and there was several flights run. We had about 4 to 5 glasses in front of us. And the staff came around and poured wine into each one of them for us. We sat down. There were some cheeses and some breads and so on and so forth to freshen up the palate. And so there was probably tables of maybe 8 people, I suppose, round tables. And we would we'd sat at a table with friends or acquaintances.
Or winemakers were all over the place.
Sure. Yeah. We went through the wines one at a time, tasted them, took notes, and so on and so forth. Then winemakers, each time we went through a particular flight of 4 to 5 wines, winemakers who had made those wines or principals in the winery got up and talked a little about that wine and how they did what they did, why they did what they did, and so on. It was fascinating. And the first one was on Russian River and Sonoma Coast. The second grouping was on Gary's and Pizzoni Vineyard, which was really nifty.
The thing I liked about it, you sort of went through it in flights. I mean, there was 4 flights of 4 in each one. So
exactly.
In each seminar, we went through 16 different mm-hmm. wine.
It was carefully constructed so that you could go through these things without, you know, being inundated with 25 wines at one time or something crazy. You're going through in batches of 4 to 5, as I say.
All right. Without further ado, let's get started with these. I hope everybody enjoys.
Just to give you a brief description on what we're going to do, we're going to bring the winemaker up, and if we like his wine, we're going to clap, and if we don't like his wine, we're going to throw spit bucket water. A lot of you haven't been to one of our small tastings like this before, so what we generally do is reveal the wines one by one. If the winemaker is in attendance, we'll ask him to come up and speak a little bit about the wine. We also welcome your comments. And please, you know, be honest, forthright. It's what makes it fun. If you like it, tell him you like it. If you don't, you feel more than free to berate him. You'll probably be dropped from his mailing list, but that's the consequences. Yeah. So I'm going to reveal the first wine. It's the 2003 Talisman Thorn Ridge. This wine is made by Scott Rich. Scott's here. I'm going to ask Scott, where are you? You want to come up and talk a little bit about the wine?
This grapes for this wine came from the Thorn Ridge Vineyard, which is about 5 miles south of Sebastopol, right on the edge of the Petaluma Gap, which is the low spot in the Coast Range. So it's a very kind of cold, foggy site, and we always have problems getting good yields. It's the only vineyard where we actually work to try and get our yields up. Typically, we get 2 tons per acre off of it. This one was, I think, 1.9 tons per acre is what we got off of this one. A guy named Ted Klopp, who also owns Klopp Ranch, which Mary Edwards Vineyard designates, owns and farms this vineyard for me. Clones are 115, Pommard, and a tiny bit of Swan. This wine spends about 16 or 17 months in 60 or 70% new French oak. It really sucks the oak up and doesn't show it, and that's why we use that much and leave it in that long. We release a little bit late. I want to have bottle age on the wines when we release them. This actually won't be released until August, so you're getting a little preview of it here. So any questions? Price on this is $44. Production this year, 2003, I think it's 274 cases. It was bottled just about this time last year, and I generally like to give the wines about a year, a little over a year of bottle age before we release them. Alcohol in this is, what was the alcohol was the question. It's about 14.4.
Thank you, Scott.
Wine number four is the 2004 Keller Estate La Cruz Vineyard. I believe Michael is here also from Keller.
Keller Estate is also in the Sonoma Coast outside of Petaluma. Kind of Petaluma Gap area is what governs our climate. We have about 38 acres of Pinot Noir, 87 acres total, and we also are selling a third of our production to other wineries. 2004 for us represented a real change. We had a vineyard block, 20-acre vineyard block, we call it Block 10, that came into production in 2004. It's split up into 10 two-acre sub-blocks. We have 7 different clones, 4 different rootstocks, and it sits about 400 feet higher in elevation, thinner soils, rockier soils, and sits more northeaster versus the lower ranch, which is more southwest. Really gives us a lot more depth and intensity into the fruit for that blend. So, any questions? The question is what the cost is, $30. Alcohol is about 14.3. Case level production is 2,800 cases.
For those of you who live in the area or live in Marin, if you go out 37 and you take a left on Lakeville Highway and you go up a couple of miles, that's where this property is, and you would not think that there's a winery there. It's one of the most outstanding facilities I've ever seen. I had the joy of spending a couple hours with Michael walking through the operation, the winery, and it's incredible. But it's also in a unique place. I mean, you'd never think that's where the vines would be grown. It's not in your traditional Sonoma Coast spot. For those of you that are attending the festival tomorrow also, Michael is going to be in attending the regional tasting. Michael will be at the clonal table. He has 5 different Pinot clones that he'll be showing to everybody, allowing you to taste from the same lot on the La Cruz Vineyard. So, I mean, if you are going to the regional tasting tomorrow, it's something that everybody should go and experience, because you'll get a true sense of how much the clones have an impact on the flavors and the profile of a wine.
Okay, the third flight. How many think it's a Sonoma Coast flight? How many think it's a Russian River Valley flight? How many think it's both? There just seemed like there was some wines in there that were way too big to be Sonoma Coast, right? So let's see. The first wine in the flight was the 2004 Freeman Akikos Cuvée. Akiko, do you want to come up and talk?
This is Akiko Freeman. Akiko and Ken are the owners. Ed Kurtzman, who is a just absolutely tremendous Pinot maker, makes wines for Fort Ross, who's also going to be either in this flight or the next flight. August West, his own label, as well as Freeman. And so I'm going to let Akiko tell you a little bit about the wine.
Hi, I'm Akiko Freeman here. Akiko's Cuvée is, Freeman is a very new winery. We start making wine at 2002. And when we first made our wine, we only had a few vineyards to work with, so we didn't want to really do vineyard designate, and we only had a Sonoma Coast wine. And we are like, well, we should make some other wines besides just having one wine to release. And what we came up with was, before the bottling, my winemaker Ed Kurtzman and my husband Ken Freeman and myself tasted every single barrels and picked out each one's favorite barrels. So I pick out like 7 barrels of my favorite and made my own brand. And Ed made his own brand, and my husband Ken made all of his brand, favorite barrels brand. Then we sat down and did the blind tasting, and all 3 of us picked my brand was the best tasting. So thank you. So we do this process like now every year, and now we work with like 7 Pinot Noir vineyards, but my brand somehow keep winning. If Ed wins, like, it's going to be probably like Ed special or something like that. This 2004 Agicos Cuvée is brand of 4 vineyards. Meredith Estate from Mary Edwards, Bailey Vineyard, which is right nearby us in Sebastopol. The 3rd one is Thomas Road, that's from Dutton Ranch. And 4th vineyard, like a tiny bit of Kiefer Ranch is in there. We use about 40% new oak and 60% one-year-old French coopers. We use 5 different coopers. So we have like 9 different vineyards, 7 different Pinot vineyards and 4 or 5 different coopers to brand with. And we are always having fun. It has a good acidity and great spice, I think. It changes dramatically while you're drinking. It's like open up time to time and brings out the exotic spices like nutmeg, cinnamon, allspice, and also has like a white peppers.
Thank you, Akiko. Akiko, what is the cost of the $48? Akiko, do you know offhand the alcohol percentage on that? I mean, I can read it off the label, but 14.2. The 4th wine of the flight was the William Selyem 2004 Sonoma Coast. That was my favorite wine of the flight. I can't tell you that much about it. Unfortunately, Bob Cabral's not here. We would have loved to have him, but he didn't attend. If you love Pinot, you know William Selyem. I mean, probably the winery that we could all attribute to putting at least the modern era on the map after the Swans and the Chalons and the Hansels and the Martin Rays did it in the first era. William Selyem made a unique wine in the 80s and 90s. They sold it in 1998 to John Dyson, the president of the New York Jets. And they came out and they made wine and they hired Bob Cabral as their winemaker. Bob Cabral is just a tremendous winemaker, and Bob Cabral wants to do nothing other than try to emulate the old Burt Williams style wines. I do think the 2004 William Selyem wines were the first wines that have shown the old pedigree. The wines have been fun since 98, but they haven't been, I think, the quality of the William Selyem wines in the past. I think the 2004s are spectacular. If you want to get on a waiting list, William Selyem is the one. Wine number 12 is the 2004 Kosta Browne Sonoma Coast. There is no doubt that it is a flashy, sexy wine to drink. This wine just received 98 points in Wine Spectator, and I'm not quite sure, but I don't think a wine has ever received 98 points from Wine Spectator, and that came out before we put this program together. We asked to pour this. So I believe, and don't quote me on it, but I believe this is the highest rated California Pinot ever. It's a 2004 Kosta Browne Kanzler Vineyard. For those of you that know Kosta Browne, you know that they are as hot as can be right now of a winery. Their wines are absolutely tremendous wines. They're in high demand. They're wines that can age. They're wines that you can enjoy the day you buy them. I would say that when you buy this wine, you could either enjoy it the day that you purchased it, or you could probably let it age for 10 years. But you're not going to find this wine. I mean, after you get 98 points, it becomes highly allocated. But I'm going to ask Michael Brown, who's part owner and winemaker of Kosta Browne, to speak a little bit about their venture and what they're doing, and then a little bit specifically about the Kanzler. Michael.
Thanks, Steve. The 2 wines, as Steve said, were to both the 04 vintage, the 2004 Sonoma Coast and the 2004 Kanzler Vineyard. Basically what we do with our vineyard designates and our blends is, for example, on the Kanzler and all of our other vineyard designates, we'll take the entire lot of barrels, lay them all out, and produce that what we think is the best, most complex, balanced wine that we can from the different barrels. So that was the Kanzler Vineyard. And then whatever's left over, we'll put aside for either the Russian River blend or the Sonoma Coast blend. Once we're done with our vineyard designate wines and our reserve wines, we will then study the blends and do the same thing with the blends. So the Sonoma Coast has about 20-25% Kanzler, also has some fruit from a vineyard called Pleasant Hill down in the same region, has some fruit from a vineyard called Manzana, which is farmed by the Duttons, which is right in the heart of Green Valley, and a bit from a vineyard called Giusti, which is near Forestville. So all those vineyards come from in and around Green Valley, Appalachian. And the Kanzler Vineyard is just south of the Green Valley of Appalachian, just below Bodega Highway. Very cool region. All those vineyards tend to ripen late, so we get the darker fruit profile. We let them hang as long as we can to get that intensity of fruit while retaining that acidity and balance. Any questions about the two wines or anything in general? The Kanzler 2004 is $52, and the Sonoma Coast is $32. If you're on the mailing list, you can certainly buy it. And certain restaurants near you. And thanks for Steve and Lisa and the whole gang with Pinot Days.
Thank you, Michael. So that was a Sonoma Coast flight. And don't worry if you got it wrong. I would never guess that was a Sonoma Coast flight. But that was the nature of the 2004 vintage. It was a gigantic vintage. I mean, 2005 isn't going to taste anything like that. I mean, I've had most of those wines that we tasted in that flight in barrel of the 2005s. And I can tell you the 2005s, you would never know you were drinking the same wine. I mean, the 2005 vintage is going to be the bellwether vintage for Russian River Valley, Sonoma Coast Pinot. But they're lighter, they're elegant, they're less alcohol. They're tasting more integrated in their youth. I would not draw the line or make a global assumption about the style of the wines from the last flight that we tasted. I think that's an anomaly. They're fun wines, but they are huge. The fourth wine in the second flight was the 2004 Minor Rosellas. So, interesting, the 2003 Miners Rosella last year was voted the wine of the night. I mean, people went crazy over it. I don't know how this one was received. I didn't taste it. You thought it was excellent? Yeah. They're on a roll. Gary, come on up.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Anybody ask you a question?
Well, thanks for the reception. Thanks for having me here. I also want to thank Gary and Gary Pizzoni and Franchoni. Obviously, their passion and love of the grapes and of Pinot Noir and of the vineyard is what makes all this possible. And I feel so obligated to them that I actually, my name isn't really Gary, but I changed it. I changed it to Gary to people at the winery think that's my vineyard, and I usually say yes. Seriously, though, it's really wonderful to work with these guys. We've been working with them for years, and I wish all of our vineyard growers had the just the aptitude and just the interest that these guys have, and just the enthusiasm is terrific. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I will give you the case quantity and how much we sell the wine for, and it's 800 cases, and it's $50 a bottle, the Rosellas. We also make a Gary's, but wasn't here tonight. And it's the same price, by the way. Well, enjoy. Thanks.
Thank you, Gary. While we're pouring the next flight, which will take about 5 minutes, I'm going to ask Gary Franchione to come up and talk a little bit about Rosella's vineyard and Gary's vineyard. Gary, can I have you come up? Or, yeah.
Thanks, first of all, to Steve and Lisa for throwing this whole weekend on and making us a part of the second year in a row of doing this Gary's Rosellas and Pizzoni tasting. Round of applause. Nobody's done it yet. Probably one of the greatest things that happened in my life is, even though I went to high school with him and everything, is being his partner. And it's been a ride and a hell of a ride, and we're not done yet. So thank you, Gary. You probably are most familiar with our philosophies of growing, and so I really don't want to get into that tonight. And you probably know most about the vineyards, and basically besides their locations and their terroir, is that probably Rosella's has the mixture of 8 different Pinot Noir clones. You know, Gary's and Pozzoni are both Pozzoni clone. And they are farmed the same, but what's interesting is the sites really show themselves, and I think you'll see that in tonight's tasting. I would like just to touch upon a little bit about the 2004 vintage. Everybody, as a grower or winemaker, probably goes into the year thinking, this is going to be the greatest vintage ever. And we all hope for that. That's our holy grail. We just want that. And believe it or not, 04 started that way. We had an early bud break, in our case, March 4th, a week early. And so we thought we were off to a good start because we had 2 really warm spells in March. So bud break was very, very uniform. I mean, shoots were developing. They're just at the same pace, 4 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches, and everything was just like you want it. May was very warm also, which probably set the stage for the 2005 vintage in the bud differentiation, is that we had a really warm spring, and we do a lot of basil leaf removing, so I think we generated all those heat units and everything that causes a larger crop in 05, which was statewide, naturally. The summer was very cool. San Jose Highlands typically has fog from 10 at night to 10 in the morning, and we truly had that in all of 04 with no heat waves at all. Not one day. And heat to us is like 85, 90 degrees. Veraison was early. I mean, think about it. It was June 25th, which is now. And now we're just completing set. And that's what's fun about vintages. They're all different. So we had this great thing going. We think, this is it. We got the greatest vintage of all. Sugars start developing in mid-August. The 18s, 19s are coming. And we go, all we got to do is float through September, and we've got it. Well, guess what? 2 heat waves in 8 days, you know, 3 days of heat of 95 degrees, 2 days off, another 3 days back at us of 95-degree heat. And what we normally do in 6 weeks of harvest, we did in 12 days, long nights too. But I guess we learned from that, and we did many things. I mean, we're not afraid to water in anticipation of a heat wave, and give lots of water, where normally you're starving the grapes, you know, all the way through. But I think we've learned something in 04, and I give credit to all the winemakers, because we like, our theory is, we like to make the wine in the vineyard, and that's our goal every year. But this year, in 04, the winemakers really did a great job, because they finished these wines, and they had a lot of pressure on them, there wasn't a lot of space, and I think the wines are showing very well. We were scared of them when, at harvest. We go, oh my God! But they've come around, and they're showing real well. Thank you all for attending. I'm around for questions, and let's get on to the next flight.
Flight 3, wine 1, is the 2004 Siduri Rosellas. You didn't guess that, huh? Ryan, we did the Russian River Valley tasting just before this from 3 to 6, and Ryan guessed the Siduri. Being that he makes it, he should, but I think he was the only winemaker to guess his wine the last time. So, Ryan, you want to come up and speak a little bit about it, please? Yeah, come on. Yeah.
You're sure this is all?
Yeah. Why? You're not surprised.
All right, I guess I'm pretty shocked as well, because I had everyone at the table convinced this was a Pozzoni flight, so. This was my least favorite wine, by the way, at the flight. So this is the Rosellas from Siduri, right?
And right.
We only make 25 Pinots a year, so I get kind of confused sometimes. So what's to be said about Rosellas? We pick 4 clones from there, so I think. And we did about 600 cases of this wine in 2004. We get a mix of the 777 clone, newer 113 clone. There's a little bit of the Pozzoni clone there and some Pommard. We basically stick to the basics. The wines are unfined, unfiltered. We don't really rack unless we have problems with the wines or we think something's kind of funky. About 60% new oak. This particular blend, I think, was about 60%. We go to barrel with 60%, but then we do a barrel selection. So sometimes the wines are less, sometimes they're a little more, but usually never more than 70% new oak. Any questions? $42 bottle, and I think this one was right on 500 cases in 04.
Ryan, thank you. We saved the biggest and baddest for the best for the last. I'm going to ask Gary Pizzoni to come up and just talk briefly to you folks. Gary? Gary, you want to come on up? come on up. No, can you come up and talk in the microphone? Yeah. Here you go, Gary Pizzoni.
Hi, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. I want to thank all of you for loving Pinot Noir, because I'm a Pinot Noir freak also. I have two sons. One is was born in 77, and one was born in 79. And I just absolutely love them. They're my best buddies. One is a viticulturist. He takes care of the grape growing. The other is the winemaker. He takes care of the winemaking. So I just drink for a living. How's that? I used to bring the younger kid, I used to bring him milk. Now he brings me wine. How's that for a deal? And it's about time he figured out. He's been making wine since he was three. And they're my best buddies. But my other best buddy is Gary Francione, who's right here. Gary and I went to grammar school and high school together. We played sports together. His mother and father and my mother and father went to school together. So we're all longtime friends. And he has a natural flair for viticulture and for winemaking and wine drinking. I mean, we drink like fish together. But one of the most greatest things about making wine at Pizzoni Vineyard and Gary's Vineyard and Rosella's is we have what I call an all-star team. I mean, we have Big Mac from Vision Cellars. We have James Hall from Patson Hall. We have Jeff Fink from Tantera. We have Andrew from AP Vink. We have, I mean, we just have Gary Brookman from Miner, who was the first guy to make work with my fruit in Napa in 1995, my dear buddy. And it's like sinistry. Like, we're all good by ourselves, but together we're better. I mean, we're a motherfucking team. I mean, we're wild animals. We drink, we talk, we exchange ideas, and people say, do you compete? No, we don't compete. It's sinistry. We work together. We work, and we love the grapes, and we do everything we can to make the best Pinot Noir possible. Well, the way we grow the grapes, it's not us that makes the wine. It's nature that makes the wine. It's God that makes the wine. We're happy to be the custodians and touch that luscious juice. And we do everything vertical shoot positioning, where we have no lazy leaves. They're all conducting photosynthesis. It's sunlight to sugar to wine. And so all those clusters are all lined up on the cordon wire, and they're all lined up, and they all have their own little place. And we pick all the leaves off on the morning sun side to develop all the phenolics and flavors and delicate esters that Pinot Noir loves. And then on the afternoon sun side, we leave the leaves on so they don't get sunburned. We just love our little babies. We don't want their ass sunburned. And we just do everything we can. Like, Pinot Noir, it's kind of a fickle grape. It's not like, you can't just like get good fruit, get good barrels. You have to do about 20 little things to make good Pinot Noir. It's very, very elusive. It's very, it's like you're always reaching for the, it's the holy grail of winemaking. In fact, I hope there's no Cabernet makers here or Bordeaux, because I drank $500,000 worth of Bordeaux before I found out Pinot was better, but I'm a slow learner. My best friend is my mom, though. She's my dearest friend. Her name's Jane. And in fact, I planted a vineyard recently. I said, Mom, she's 80 years old, and she makes the pies for the parties. She does all the books and takes care of all the books for Pizzoni Farms. And I say, Mom, do you want me to name this vineyard Jane, or should I name it Mommy's? She says, well, name it Mommy's. I go, just think, Mom, you get all the money off it. She says, it's all my money anyway. She's so cool. But what I really want everyone here to do, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I want to invite everybody here to Pizzoni Vineyards to have a vertical, a horizontal, and I'll throw in a diagonal, whatever that is. Okay, come visit me.
All right, we're back. And, you know, not only were there some great excerpts from the seminar, but, I mean, you sort of got a sense for it. Everybody was having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, our listeners don't know the order, but it seemed like to me as we got later and later into the afternoons, those winemakers would get a little bit more liberal with what they said and what they did.
More animated.
After the wine would flow a little more. The first few guys would be nervous. They'd get up there. It's a lot of their peers and you're big wine collectors, and you could tell they're a little uptight. But as soon as the ball got rolling a little bit, that definitely changed.
Mm-hmm.
As you notice, Gary Pizzoni was a little bit later in his, so he was extra verbose, and he had a great time.
He was all over the place.
He was funny. He was funny. And I'd really like to suggest, if you're out there listening and you say, hey, I'm in the San Francisco area, I really want to find out more about Pinot Days, please check out their website. All the information about the upcoming event is on there, and the event's going to be June 29th through Sunday, July 1st. Their website is pinotdays.com. Friday, they have a gala winemaker dinner. Saturday, they have some focused tastings that you can attend. And then on Sunday is the Grand Festival and the big tasting. And one thing you can find out on their website, they have a list of the participating wineries, and the list is, to say it's pretty long would be a bit of an understatement. It's as I'm scrolling down looking through it, there are a lot of names on this page. Just about anyone who's making Pinot Noir, especially in California, but pretty much all over the place is listed here. So definitely check it out.
Comprehensive.
Before we exit today's show, we'd like to have a quick word from our sponsor who makes this show possible. Eric?
That would be North Berkeley Wine. They are a full-service retailer and importer specializing in hand-selected artisanal wines from the historic regions of France and Italy. If you're serious about fine wine, North Berkeley ought to be your exclusive wine destination. From Burgundy to the Rhone Valley to Piedmont and beyond, they've worked tirelessly for more than 20 years to bring us exceptional wines that you simply won't find in any other retail store or outlet. Each bottle North Berkeley Wine offers comes from winemakers and grape farmers who truly respect the land. They work closely with their partners, selecting small lots after crush and tasting wine multiple times while it's either in the tank or the barrel or the cask, maybe even in the concrete. Their expert staff is available to help you choose wines to fit your taste, celebration, or cellar collection. You can find North Berkeley Wine online at northberkeleywine.com or call them toll-free Monday through Saturday at 1-800-266-6585. That's North Berkeley Wine, fine artisanal wine for the serious wine enthusiast.
And please feel free to go out and comment on this show. Let us know what you thought about the different speakers and particular format that we put this out in. It's a little different than we normally do, but we thought that'd be the best way to bring you the highlights of these seminars in a relatively quick format. And also, please tell your friends about Grape Radio. That's how we grow. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and have a great day.
Opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of Grape Radio and does not indicate endorsement or recommendation. Discussions are intended for educational and entertainment purposes only.